بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 27th of September in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah last few sessions we've been discussing the priceless deed of salah so to conclude this endless section with the most informative and frightening reality. So Hafiz ibn Hazm, rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Muhalla, volume 2, page 235, he states, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for every salah an appointed time with set limits. It thus begins at a specified time and becomes void at a specified time. The making up of a salah, qada, is a legal issue. And such legal rulings are not permissible except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the tongue of his messenger. So stop in the court. So what he simply says is that salat has its fixed times. If you are offering a qada prayer, you must have text. You can't use reasoning. Then he said, if making up an obligatory prayer that the one who intentionally has abandoned the prayer did not perform until its time was finished, then neither Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nor his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have failed to point that out. They would also not have forgotten to mention it. And also would not intentionally leave us without explaining this issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited Surah Maryam, radiallahu anha, Surah 19, verse 64. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا And your Lord is never forgetful. Then he said, indeed every law that has not been brought in the Quran or Sunnah is void. So let's look at this. So what was Hafiz ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi saying? He was saying that when you are offering a qaza prayer, you can only offer that qaza prayer if you have been given a text. If you deliberately qaza the prayer, there is no text for you now to make that prayer up. And he goes, Allah the Almighty and His Messenger have not given you any text for this. And he quotes the verse, and your Lord is never forgetful. And then he said this, and he won't. Every law that has not been brought in the Quran or Sunnah is void. Meaning you can't use reasoning. Thus the respected Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh was highlighting that there is no proof for the one who deliberately misses the Salah and then offers it qaza. Thus, this is a void act. Hence, the prayer is now gone. It can never be made up. So I'll say that again. There is no proof for the one who deliberately misses the prayer and then offers it qaza. This is a void act. The salat is gone. It can never be made up. So what are mentioned by the Prophet for you to legally do the qaza prayer? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Muslim, number 229, our beloved messenger said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever forgets a salat or sleeps through it, then the expiation is to perform it when he remembers it. So what are the only two reasons where you've been sanctioned to do qaza? Forgetfulness and sleep. Not deliberately allowing the prayer time to pass and then to do qaza. So the Shaykh is saying, batil, void. Allah Ta'ala has not mentioned that, nor has the Messenger mentioned that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now why is it interesting? The misguided Khawarij would enjoin upon their female folk to make up all the salat they missed during their menstrual cycle. They used logic, nothing else. And this was their logic. Women make up their obligatory fasts. Thus should also be the case for the obligatory prayer. That was their logic. So what's our belief? that when a woman has a menstrual cycle, does she need to make up her fast of Ramadan? Yes. Does she need to make up her prayers? No. Khawarij say, no, that doesn't make sense. Fasting is fard, you make that up. Salat is fard. But where's the text for that? There's no text. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said in Sahih Muslim, we were enjoined to make up for the fasts, not the salat. Meaning, and she actually said to that woman who asked, are you from the Khawarij? And she goes, no, I've heard this. And as Aisha goes, no, fasts are to be made up, because the Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not the salat. Thus to reiterate Hafiz Ibn Hazm's words, rahmatullah alayh, the making up of salat is a legal issue. And such legal rulings are not permissible except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and upon the tongue of His Messenger. So if somebody argues with you, no problem. Give me text. You've deliberately missed the salat and now you're doing qaza. Give me a text anywhere where Allah ta'ala said, if you deliberately miss the prayer, you can do qaza. Or a hadith where Rasulullah said it. Nothing. So what have you done? You use logic. What's the difference between you and the Khawarij? Right? Now, why is that very dangerous? Because if you cannot make up that salah, what does that mean? You're in deep trouble. You have not been given any text to make up a salat. You've deliberately... And people even say this. You say, you know, people... Oh, brother, I'm doing qaza. I'm working. And I'll do 4 qazas when I get home. And the response to that is, where does it say in the holy text that work gives you the concession to miss the prayer? Salat, imagine, being massacred. So now, what have the imams said? And what's interesting is, the imams, they say, make up the prayer. In other words, you made it up. But they say it with a heavy heart, because there's no text. So now question, if you miss a prayer and you cannot make up for it, what does that mean? That means, according to Imam Ahmad, you're kafir. Think about that. You can go blue in the face arguing. If you cannot make up the prayer, no expiation for it, what does that mean? Allah Ta'ala is furious. He's not giving you a concession. If He has not told you a way out, that means you're in deep trouble. For example, oaths, when you swear oaths, if you swear an oath and you can do an expiation for that, for example, you say, I swear that I'm not going to do this, and then you do it, and then there's an expiation. But do you know that there's one oath there's no expiation for? If you deliberately lie and you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in court, nothing in the Quran says no expiation. Does that mean that that oath is less than the one that you've done in terms of making something forbidden? No. It means Allah Ta'ala is furious with you. He's not giving you an expiation. That means you're going to meet Him with anger. So qaza, to reiterate, there's only 2 things mentioned in the text. Forgetfulness and when you sleep. Now, isn't this essential knowledge? And yet, who's told us this? Astaghfirullah. I read it and I thought, hey. And this is again clear. But note again, the imam say, make up the prayer. You still make it up. But you can tell that they're just saying that to give you some sort of comfort. But in reality, there's no text for that. Absolutely no text. So forgetfulness happens. If you forget, no problem. The Prophet said, make it qaza. You oversleep, no problem. What else is there? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can come out with 101 things. No, brother. What it was, I was a critical. Critical what? What are you critical in? Right? If you look, and of course in jihad, there's specific commands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he missed 3 or 4 prayers during the Battle of the Trench because it was so severe, the siege. They did not have the ability to pray. So if you're physically in that condition, even then, the Prophet did qaza, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's another, but that's during jihad. This is not when you've got your duvet over your belly, right? This is during, you know, critical. We're not talking about that, we're talking about peacetime. And qaza, no problem. Where did he say you can do qaza? Right? And if you miss one prayer deliberately, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, whoever misses a prayer deliberately without a concession or an excuse, his name is written on the door of hell, from which he must pass. It's etched on the door of hell. Right? Meaning this is a very serious matter. So note, and like I mentioned yesterday, you cannot use reasoning. People like to use their logic. Well, if I forget, then can't I do it under this? Yeah, that's your logic. Then what's the difference between you and the Khawarij? The Khawarij tell their women to make up Salat after their period. Because if you make up your fasting, why do you make up your Salat? That's logic. But what did the Shariat say? No, you make up your fast, Salat, you're given a concession by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, note very important with regards to the Salat and how ignorant many are to this matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves. So moving on to another section. And it's with regards to lawful earning. So to earn a lawful living is dearly beloved to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's mention a few pointers. Firstly, to be tired after earning a lawful living is priceless. Why? In Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 7520 or 5-337, our beloved messenger made the following dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the one who starts his evening having been tired because of labor during the day be forgiven that very evening. And may the one who ends his evening with fatigue due to labor, i.e. during the night, may that evening of his be the evening of forgiveness. SubhanAllah. Dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So simply put, if you work during the day and you're tired by the night, the Prophet made a dua that may you be forgiven that very evening because you're tired from a lawful day's work. Or if you work during the night, and by the morning you're shattered, may that morning be a morning of your forgiveness. Thus note, one is deserving of a priceless prophetic dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one feels fatigued from a lawful day's or night's work, not day or night. Some people think only during the day you get the blessings. There are more blessings during the day, but you can work during the night, there's no problem. So think about that. If the Prophet's made a dua, there's no doubt you're going to be forgiven. But not tired from, and this is why physical work is truly blessed, because you really get tired when you do some physical work. Other types of employment, you don't really get tired. You could argue you get mental fatigue and the rest of it, but that's why the Prophet said, the best earnings is from your hand. Dawood earned his living with his hand, meaning he was a blacksmith. Such is the purification that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Tabarani, in his Awsat number 102 or 1-42, there are some sins whose expiation is neither in salah, fast, hajj or umrah. Their expiation is found on those troubles a person suffers in search of lawful earnings. SubhanAllah. Think about that. When I read this before, so salat, the Prophet goes, there's some sins that even Salat won't take up. No point in trying to work it out. The Prophet said, who are you? Fast won't take up. Hajj won't take up. Umrah. But that same sin, which is stubborn, which won't be erased even from those great deeds, will be taken out if a person suffers in search of earning a lawful livelihood. Look at the purification Allah has given. It thus comes as no wonder to learn that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a believer who engages in a lawful means of livelihood. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a believer who engages in a lawful means of livelihood. In Tabrani, in his Awsat 12-308, Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 1181. So, that sums it up. If you earn a lawful livelihood, Allah Ta'ala loves that believer. In another most informative report, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Tabarani, travel and you will not be dependent on anyone. Travel and you will not be dependent on anyone. And what do they tell you when you go into the job seeker's office? Are you willing to travel? And why do they say that? Because there's more opportunity for you. And you go, Noah could only go a 3-mile radius from my house. And all of a sudden they go, oh, that's quite down. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, travel and you won't be dependent. Note also why work is so beloved, because you're not dependent upon anybody. This is the natural honor, the izzat of the Muslim. To pass away whilst earning a lawful living is also a blessed sign. In Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunnah, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after jihad fi sabilillah, the next best time of death for me is when I am busy in search of my sustenance. The Holy Prophet then recited the following verse, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Al-Muzammil, Surah 73, verse 20, Audhi billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَآخَرُونَ يَدْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَهُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Others travel through the land seeking the bounty of Allah, yet others are fighting in the path of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best death is during jihad, when you're martyred. He goes, the next best time for me to pass away is whilst I am busy in search of my rizq. So when you die during work, that's the next best time for you to die. And then the Prophet recited this verse. Now what's interesting about this verse? What's mentioned first? Traveling through the land seeking the bounty, others fighting in the path of Allah. What's mentioned first? Work. Work is mentioned first, then jihad. And that's a direct tafsir of that verse from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now this is important. This doesn't mean you work till you drop. You get some people, oh, he died in office. You know, what a great blessing that is. Did he pray? Right? No. What sort of a blessing is that? So this is talking about a person who's doing everything. He's praying, he's fulfilling all the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's earning a living. And during that time when he's earning a living, he dies. That's a good sign. It's an excellent sign, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. But if he's not praying, no point discussing whether it's a good death. He's not even in the fold of Islam, according to one of the Imams. So it has to be, everything has to be in place. It would not come as a surprise to learn that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, paradise is for the one who has pure earnings. Paradise is for the one who has pure earnings. This is in Tabarani in his Awsat, number 4616 or 5-72. Think about that. If you have a lawful earning, paradise is yours. What greater prize can there be? How true, therefore, were the words of one of the righteous predecessors when he said, when a Muslim eats the first morsel of lawful food, his previous sins are forgiven. And the person who goes to a place of humiliation, i.e. a so-called lowly profession, in search of lawful sustenance, his sins fall like the leaves of a tree. This is recorded by Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh in his Ihya, volume 2, page 116. So think about that. You earn a lawful wage. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first morsel you eat, your sins are forgiven. Look at the blessings in that food. First morsel, sins are forgiven. And when you go to a place of humiliation, meaning a lowly profession, people like cleaning the streets, cleaning toilets, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your sins fall like the leaves of a tree. Right? So there's no such thing as a lowly profession in Islam. It's only the non-Muslim mindset. Any lawful employment is blessed. And you'll experience that when you actually get lawful food and you eat it, you feel it, you're thinking, this is something else. And you get that from the righteous. Thus, there is no such thing in Islam as a lowly profession, for all lawful forms of employment are truly blessed. So why is this important to highlight? Because this is part of our deen. Some people give you the impression that our deen is all in the masjid. Most of our deen is outside the masjid. The masjid is a center, i.e. of activities, but most of our deen is outside. The other thing which is important to point out is, we don't live to work. We work to live. Some people, they just work till they drop. You know, for example, they may have a certain profession and they're doing 15, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. Did Allah Ta'ala create to do work like this? No, of course not. So the mindset is, it fulfills a need. I need to pay my bills. I need to eat. I need to drink. Don't forget that. Why? Because there's more important things to then do. You understand? Work isn't something that we look to, oh yes, we're going to do 24-7 work. None of the hadith mentioned that. Look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would think, like, what do we need today? They do their bit, few dates, class. Then they go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu went to a Jew. And he goes, I'll water your well. And he goes, for each time I water a well, the Jew goes, I'll give you a date. And I think he got about 10 dates or something like that. And he finished. He goes, thank you, give me my dates. 10 dates he went and gave some to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet goes, blessed. Right? That's the mindset. But some people, and then they get ill because they're just making money for the sake of money. You see people like that. You don't need to work with that. No, no, it's quick killing. Like, quick killing? I don't get it. You know, I don't want to mention professions, but when I was doing taxis many years ago, why are you working? And he goes, why aren't you working? They're telling me, why aren't you working? I go, I just make my money and I go home. And he goes, you come out this time and you don't miss this time. And I go, but I don't need it. What am I going to do with it? Put it in bank, right? And then they were really confused. They were like, Shamrush Khan Putar, right? And then, right, there you go in it, right? You know, but they don't like thinking. Why? It's not just about making money, but there's a point behind this. Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullah Alayhi said, wealth should be treated like the toilet. He goes, there's a need. Somebody goes, why have you got a toilet? You don't start saying, I'm going to live in that toilet. This is my home. And I can't wait. I'm never going to leave it. You think the guy's cracked? You go there to do your business and you get out. Ibn Taymiyyah said, that's work. You do there, do your business, get out. Right? But some people get stuck in toilet. Astaghfirullah. You see him? And then some of the ulama said, if those people die, then maybe the blessings aren't there. Right, so note again, you have to get that balance. Right, and then you look at Abu Darda, whose life you've been through, and then you realize there's another thing that we can discuss, but that's not relevant here. So all I mentioned today was one very important ruling with regards to the qaza prayer. The qaza prayer, you need to have text before you do the qaza. Granted, the imams have said, do the qaza. But they're saying that with a heavy heart. Why? Because they go, there's no text with it. If you deliberately miss a prayer, there's no text anywhere which says you can make up that prayer. But the imam said, do it. Still do the qaza prayer. And who knows? But where's the text? Right? And Hafiz Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi said, there's no text for that. Therefore, you're in deep trouble if you deliberately miss the prayer. Astaghfirullah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم